We're going to consider the purpose of God today from Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We have been in verse 28. And we will return there for this last visit. Most wonderful scripture. It was as Ambrose said, the Bible is such a great treasury, and here is a wonderful jewel, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Amen. We trust that God the Holy Spirit will take up His word, because no man would have written as this is written on his own. Why would the strongest tense be used, the strongest past tense be used in verse 30 when the glorification of all of God's saints has not happened yet? What's spoken of in the earlier verses in this chapter regarding the redemption of the body and that full glorification has not happened for any of the saints of God. There's a multitude of them up there today in that continuing worship service, but they are the spirits of the justified perfected there, but their bodies have not been glorified. And why would such terminology be used in that past tense that we were justified and glorified as well as predestinated in the most distant past? It is the Spirit of God who did that, because no man simply thinking would have done that. It is the Lord. Well, a man was one day speaking violently against the doctrine of God's predestinating election. And another man said to him as he was spewing out his despising of that doctrine, he said, "Wait, you believe in election as firmly as I do?" "I do not. I object to the very idea." "Well, do you believe that everyone will be saved in the end, or only some?" "Only some, of course." "Will those some have saved themselves?" "Certainly not. God in Christ is the only Savior of sinners." "Well, could not God have saved the rest?" "No doubt He could have." "Then is salvation only for the saved?" "Well, surely it is." "Did God save them willingly or against His will?" "He certainly saved them willingly." "Well, did God willingly let those perish who perished, even though He has all power in heaven and in earth?" "It seems so." "Then, is this not election?" "Well, I suppose it is." At least He didn't violently, publicly speak against it anymore. Well, the doctrine of God's predestinating purpose. We conclude our meditation on Romans 8:28 with those last words, "the called according to His purpose." Especially those words, "according to His purpose." Now, the purpose of God. You know, the Bible's got a lot to say about that. You can take you out an exhaustive concordance and look up the term purpose. Many different Hebrew words are used for it in the Old Testament, and different Greek words are used for it in the New Testament, but they're all very instructive. What is the purpose of God? Well, the purpose of God in the original biblical language, languages, means God's counsel. His pleasure. His determination is one of those meanings. His intention, or what He devised. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That gives us part of the answer to the next question. Not only what is the purpose of God, but when did God purpose? We just quoted that verse. According to the eternal purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9, His own purpose and grace were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. There was no world, but the purpose of God was there, working already before the world began. What a blessing it is to know that wonderful reality. Ephesians 1:4 tells us that when God purposed according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. There it is. So God was determining. God was devising. God was laying out His intention before there was ever a world. Now, how extensive is God's sovereign purpose? Ephesians 1 and verse 11, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. It says it right here in Romans 8. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Even beginning, way back there, before there was a world, He was working for our good. For those that He would call, for those that He would cause to love Him. We love Him, not because we're loving in ourselves. We love Him because He first loved us. Wow. Worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. And here is hope. In every desperate situation, remember that God's all-wise hand has control. In every situation of crisis and desperation, He is working all things after the counsel of His own will, according to His eternal purpose. His purpose includes the election of His people. Romans 9:11, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. His people. Now that is very humbling. That is very moving when we realize that He has had His eye on His people from eternity. Who was the apostle writing to? In Ephesians chapter 1, he was writing to Gentiles in Ephesus. There were many Gentile believers. He hath chosen us in Him. So when the Savior came into the world, we're told in Matthew 1:21 that He came to save His people from their sins. Very definite, according to the purpose of God. In Isaiah 53:8, we read, for the transgression of My people was He stricken. Wow. His people. There in verse 11 of Isaiah 53, He shall bear their iniquities. This speaks of Christ bearing the iniquities of His people. The extent of God's purpose includes His people. The Savior laid down His life for His sheep. And why did Jesus then make the contrast between the sheep and the goats? The sheep on His right hand enter into eternal life and joy. The goats on His left hand Depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire. It was Christ who gave us that lesson. He laid down His life for the sheep. And Paul, again in Ephesians 5:25, tells us that Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He's telling the husband there to love his wife, even as Christ loved the church. Christ didn't love 5,000 different churches. He loved His church, His universal church, His body, as He calls it. He didn't love 50,000 bodies of churches. He loved His church, His people gathered from all nations. That's who He set His love on. He loved the church and gave Himself for it. According to God's purpose, Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation 13:8. But you know, Peter takes it a little farther back. Not just the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20, He is the bleeding Lamb. If you go back to verse 19, the precious blood of Christ is spoken of as of a Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. It was God's plan, God's purpose from eternity. God's sovereign purpose was referred to over and over again. Not just in the New Testament scriptures. It's amazing to go back to the Old Testament. I would encourage you to study God's purpose as it's revealed so clearly in the Old Testament. You go to the prophets, to Jeremiah and to Isaiah. Jeremiah 49:20. Listen to what he says. Hear ye the counsel of the Lord and His purposes that He hath purposed. Well, what's going to happen to these purposes? Will they fall to the ground? No. Two chapters later in Jeremiah 51:29, every purpose of the Lord shall be performed. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46:11. Listen to what he says of His purpose. I have purposed it. I will also do it. Again in Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. There is no possibility that God's plan, God's purpose, could fail at any point, in any event, with any person called according to His purpose. He can't fail. His purpose. That God who causes those tiny little microscopic metropolises to continue their functioning. That is so absolutely amazing. He will not let one of His purposes regarding any individual fail. Very precise God. Very precise. Now, which person in the Godhead did this purposing? We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It was God the Father. Listen to what Scripture says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. It's God the Father who purposed in His Son. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Which God, which member of the Godhead loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. All right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who in the Godhead has a Son? The Father! It is the Father who did this purposing. It was God the Father who sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4:4-5. The ultimate purpose of God the Father is bringing it all back to Himself. He is glorifying Christ now. Christ is the center of this whole work of redemption. Christ was involved at the creation. Christ is ruling and reigning as the God of providence. He is the mediator right now. It is His mediatorial kingdom. But it's going to come right back to the Father. If you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you see that. This is all. The ultimate purpose will be fulfilled when Christ delivers the kingdom up to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Look up above that. Now, if you look up above that, for as in Adam, verse 22, all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. All those in Adam die. All those in Christ, and only those in Christ, are made alive. But every man after his own, in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they are Christ at his coming. Now notice, when he comes, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now notice, verse 28, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Now the purpose of God is to bring it all back to the Father. That's what Christ said. Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The ultimate purpose is to bring it back to the Father who purposed it. And Christ was willing to come to fulfill the Father's will. And ultimately, God the Father will be all in all as we worship Him. And how can we worship Him now? In our current state, you know, here we have our senses. The Lord has given us these physical senses. He's given us spiritual understanding to a degree. But He's even left us the visible sacraments, His visible word. We can touch and taste and feel the water, the bread and the wine. All of our senses. And how would we worship the Father? We can only worship the Father through the Son at this point in time until we're glorified, until He takes us further. But ultimately, even the Son, Jesus Christ, will be subject to the Father that He may be all in all. The one who is working all things together according to His purpose. The purpose of God is the very fountainhead of all of our blessings, our predestination, our effectual calling, our justification, and ultimately our glorification is all flowing from the fountainhead of God's purpose. God did not purpose to save us because we're worthy to be saved. He chose to save us completely out of His great goodness. We are not saved because of our works. Because all our works are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. They're all defective, and they're all infected with our own sin. We are not saved by our free will. Romans 9:16, it is not of him that willeth. Ooh, did you read that? Of course, we can't understand Paul, the new Paul people tell us. But he says, it's not of him that willeth, but of God that showeth mercy. And you know, we know John chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood. It's not because of family ties, because not everybody in the family ends up being there, which were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Why did he say that twice? God has spoken once, yea, twice. He would have us to get it. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, which we're born. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It's not our free will that gets us into this salvation. God has graciously given us this salvation. And He has graciously given us this 8th chapter of Romans to supply us with a whole list of evidences of our salvation for our assurance. We should at least find some evidence for our assurance here. If we are assured that we are indeed in Christ, resting on Christ alone and not on our works for salvation, then we will indeed be powerful witnesses for the Lord if we are assured. For we are called according to His purpose. John Calvin added these words. He said right at the end of Romans chapter 8 in verse 28, the reason that the Lord puts that according to His purpose is so that we take no glory. Because what does it say right before that? Them that love God, them who are called, the called ones. It is not any of our merit. The fact that we love the Lord is because He first loved us and brought us to love Him. We come by faith to rest our soul, to rest our case, to rest our eternity on Christ, and His great work for us is all of grace. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is when we stop trying to do it ourselves. And we realize that all we can produce is sin, and that it is only Christ saves by His great work. Believers can securely rely upon our sovereign God who is working His eternal purpose for us. Even this day, He is working His eternal purpose for us. The doctrine of God's predestinating election should not keep anyone from relying on Christ alone. Because it is God's electing grace. As John Newton wrote, 'twas grace that caused my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. It is of God's electing grace that when we are ever brought to fear because of our sin, and when we are brought to that fear and enabled to run to Jesus and to rely on Him alone for our salvation, turning from our sin to lean on Christ, the only Redeemer of God's elect. What a blessing that is. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What a great God of wonders indeed He is. The God of eternal purpose. Oh, may God give us grace that we would give ourselves to Him completely. For He has given Himself completely for us. Let us pray. We thank Thee, our loving Father in heaven, that Thou hast loved us when we didn't love Thee. Lord, how wonderful Thou art to care for us in all the years of our minority, in all the years of our estrangement from God, in all the years of our pursuit after self and sin. And Lord, we thank Thee that in Thy time Thou hast brought us out of ourselves, out of our darkness, out of our sin, to see that Thou hast an eternal purpose for us. In Christ Jesus, we thank Thee for the gospel. And Lord, we pray for anyone here who is dwelling under the cloud of doubt or fear, that thou would cause them to see that Christ is the only relief, the only redemption. Oh God, we praise thee for the privilege to rely on the Father's changeless love. We pray that thou wilt abide with us this day. And may thy truth bring forth fruit in all our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.